What a powerful, powerful week that, you know, we try as a church to give great place to the Word of God, chapter by chapter, book by book. This year has been different. We've been out of John for almost a whole year, just with the whole year of, the pandemic and the way we were led to go. But next week, we start back into John, should finish that by Easter. And then I only have one book left in the New Testament, and I've taught the whole New Testament at this church. We'll be in the book of Luke. So we give great place to prayer. Every day there's prayer meetings. Every morning you can just get on our app and be in a Zoom prayer meeting. It's powerful. Every Saturday night you can be part of a prayer meeting that's been going on for 26 years. We had a week of prayer. And out of this week of prayer, there's a message this morning called The Well and the Mirror and the Beam. And this morning we're going to talk about the well, the mirror, and the beam. Now, these were prophecies given this week. With prayer, weeks of prayer, often comes the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy. Prophecy is not necessarily, it can be telling the future, foretelling, but so often it's also forthtelling the heart of God. And the New Testament says that when it's prophecy, it's encouraging, it's edifying, it's strengthening, it builds up, and it comforts. That's how you know it's prophecy. And you always test any prophecy to the Word of God. Does this line up with Scripture? And boy, over the years when we've fasted and prayed, just prophecies and words of knowledge and things have been spoken out all week, just revealing our heart before God. And this week there were many words given, but three words to me that just stood out to our leadership that stood out. The word about the well, the word about the mirror, and the word about the beam, and we're going to look at those. So last Sunday, we saw Paul in prison for our week of fasting and prayer, and we were acknowledging that's where Satan wanted Paul, locked up, no more churches planted, shut up in a prison. And I love this phrase in the Bible when we study the life of Paul and so many different books of the Bible. There's this phrase, but God. Satan wanted Paul shut up. He wanted him locked down. And I think if you're effective for God, he wants you shut up. He wants you removed. He wants you locked up so you're not an influence for the kingdom anymore. But God, there Paul was in prison. All he could do was write. So Paul writes half of the New Testament. But God, right? And there Paul was chained to a Roman soldier. That'd be horrible. But God, Paul's looking at that helmet and breastplate and shoes and shield and sword. And Paul's able to write to us by the Holy Spirit about the Christian soldier. And we had that last week and we'll bring it up again, the Christian soldier. And it's just so powerful to see it. And I think this is what God was doing in us this week. We're marked by truth. Living lives of truth before God. Christ's righteousness is ours. The gospel is on our lips and our feet, and we're ready. Shield of faith. Salvation marks us. The word of God marks us. And prayer marks us as Christian soldiers. And we talked about that last week. It's just so powerful. We talked about how prayer is our supreme weapon. And we saw the writer of Pilgrim's Progress said that. Prayer is our supreme weapon. That's how we lived this last week. We knew it. We knew how powerful prayer was, and we engaged. And we saw last week, just in a little bit of review, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest of saint upon his knees, William Cooper. It's not in strength that we make such an impact. It's when we're so weak. Man, I don't even feel like I can make it to the prayer meeting this morning. That's so often when God is moving through your prayers and through your life in such power. Man, I am so worn out. I am so exhausted. I just need a day off. It's Saturday. I don't need a prayer meeting. I need the sofa. It can be so powerful when we're just weak all week long that we dragged ourselves here. And I love what Frankie said. There's no condemnation for those who couldn't be here. We're all part of the same church. God is doing a great work, and we're all going to be a part of it. But Man, I want to encourage us to keep praying together. There's prayer meetings every day. If God really blessed you with this prayer this week, keep praying together. There's been a word on our hearts the last couple of years. It's the word prayer mountain. That God's calling this church to be a prayer mountain. Not necessarily something we're going to build here. We're going to build it. No, the prayer mountain is people. This week, that word was in full operation. We were a prayer mountain here. And it was beautiful what we were able to be part of. And one of the words I want to talk to you about is this word about a new well. The well, the mirror, and the beam. And I came home last Sunday after teaching, and I got a text from a young man in our body. He's a really godly young man, and he can't come. He's watching online today. Text me right before the service, and because of his parents' health. So he has to stay separated. So the online is his lifeline. And when I got home last week, there was a text from him, and he says, "Pastor Rob, I had a dream," and I respect him in his walk with the Lord. He says, "I had a dream last night. I had a dream that you were there at the church, and the church was kind of transformed into this construction zone, and you were digging a new well, and you were calling for all kinds of volunteers to help you build this well. And you had this booklet in your hand, and you didn't know what you were doing, but because you had the booklet in your hand, it was successful, and you were setting up the drill. And the interesting thing about this drill is where most of the time drilling a well, the most important thing is where you set up the drilling equipment. That's the most important thing if you're going to hit water. But with this drill, it wasn't important where you set up the drill, because when you drilled down, you struck water. And you got my attention immediately, because this word of a well is very significant to this church. Do you know there are homes out here that have cisterns? They can't even get any water on their property. They have to have water trucked in. And when we got this 50 acres, the big miracle was, are we going to be able to get water? Get water? 110 gallons a minute God provided on this property. It was a miracle. So the well instantly has our attention, and God's drilling a new well. And it just was such a picture. I started thinking about it. And actually, when I first got the whole picture from him, I was like, I don't really know what this means. I started to come alive to drilling and hitting water, and it was really cool. No matter where you set up the drilling equipment, it hit water, and I thought, wow, that's a picture of prayer. We're going into the week of fasting and prayer. And as he shared the dream with me, he said the unusual thing about the equipment was when it started to go down, the drill head would go towards the water. It's real very unusual. And during the week, we were talking, and he says, I really believe that we were talking together. Prayer is not just, okay, we're going to come and pray every time we do the same thing. Let's pray. We bear down, we hit water. But prayer, there's a sensitivity when we're praying to the Holy Spirit and how we move. Every year looks different. Every prayer meeting looks different. How we bend and flex to the living water. But prayer does always lead to water, living water. And it was just what started out was, when he told me the dream, I thought, well, there's a little thimble of water, just out of obedience, I'll drink it. Thank you for sharing that dream with me. And during the week, it wasn't a thimble of water for me. It was Multnomah Falls for me. I mean, God just kept ministering to me through this dream and just kept speaking to me all week long. And, this construction site and how I was looking for people, what an absolute blessing. I could not be more blessed how our church participated. I could not be more blessed, people in person, people online, people that are at home and even kind of did their own thing. Just that's how they were led. People that weren't here at the church at all, but were fasting and praying. I got texts from just every scenario imaginable. One really dear woman, she goes, "I know you didn't see me and I haven't been part of anything, but God is transforming my life. I'm fasting with you guys." So, I mean, I just could not be more blessed by all the people. And I just am going to say it one more time. No guilt if you didn't get to participate. Maybe next year. Maybe next year will be the year that you are really able to drill down with us. But Adam Poole, one of our leaders, was helping me to see that, you know, really what's been built at this church is a culture of prayer. There is a culture of prayer. And leaders have raised up that all these rooms were filled with leaders in order for these prayer meetings to go the way they went. This was the first year we were online, and all of those big 100 people groups online broke down into small groups online, and we had leaders for all those groups. And my sister was part of it from Reno area, and she said, Rob, every group I was in, the leaders were so good. The prayer meeting was so powerful. Glory to God, right? I mean, he's really grown a culture of prayer and support staff here, the behind the scenes. Every year before, people online could only watch through a camera and just go, well, it's just kind of nice to watch the back of their heads. This year, all those people got to be on these thriving prayer meetings and in groups of prayer. And then Tuesday came, the snow came to freeze our week of fasting and prayer. And what happened? We had the largest online prayer meeting this church has ever had. 200 plus people effortlessly all went online. God was just pouring out his spirit on that prayer meeting. Then we all went into groups. And I know it's hard to believe, but I was leading the Zoom prayer meetings all week long. And I know this is hard to believe, but it was almost more intimate online. I can't even believe I'm saying that. I hate online. It was almost more intimate online than in person. Like, how is that even possible? Plus, you get to drag a mouse over every person and know their name at all times. I mean, it was, and you could mute anybody you wanted. That was wonderful for a pastor. Just, I could, you know, no, I'm just teasing. But could not be more pleased. And for 12 years, you know what? One of the great, just absolute pleasures of all year in this church, but especially the week of prayer and fasting, it's the generations. Do you realize what a unique work of grace that is, that we are a generational church? It is such grace upon us to see so many young people. One of the mornings, you know, Antioch House, a whole group of the guys, even though they needed to be on Zoom all day, they were up there sitting at a Zoom meeting, you know, 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning. I just was so blessed by all of the young people. This is a picture from last year's week of fasting and prayer. And it is a defining word for this church that will ever, forever mark this church. And it's the word that the older generation is to be honored. We don't discard the older. As the younger generation, we try to honor them. We try to respect them. We value them. We do everything we can as a younger generation. I somehow keep speaking like I'm we in the younger generation. You, it's finally switched. You need to do everything you can to respect me. No, to respect the older, to honor, to lift up, to value. No, we don't want you to go away so the young can come in. And you do everything you can as the younger to ask them to mentor you. Ask them to help you with their finances. Ask them to help you with your job or your resume or your marriage. I'm only married a year. You guys have been married 29 years. You think you could sit with us? How did you make it through the hard times? And honor them. Ask them. But interact with them. And then the word for the older, right? We have got to see this younger generation. We cannot stay separated. We're just thrilled that God is raising you guys up and that you're here and seeking the Lord this week. What a miracle. What grace. And the older generation has got to mentor. Reach out to them. Hey, how would you like to come to lunch at our house? See, is your girlfriend? Oh, it's your wife, first year. Come on over. What, you're a school engineer? I'm an engineer too. Why don't you come over? Let's talk. Let's go hunting together. You hunt too? I hunt. Let's go fish. Hey, I got a drift boat. You want to go out? The older generation has to reach the younger generation. They're wanting to be reached. They're longing for the older generation to take an interest in them. And oh, we're just so thankful for this work that God has done. I couldn't be more pleased seeing the generations of our church here this week. It's brought to my attention afresh. But this word booklet, you know, this booklet, huh? We talked about this dream, and I had some booklet in my hand. Well, I don't know. I mean, the drill really ministers to me, the flexible drill bit, and how it's not, every prayer meeting is not just you drill down, but you really have to be sensitive to the Spirit. Boy, that really ministers to me. Prayer strikes water. That ministers to me. But the booklet, at the very end of this week, I was interacting with this young man, and the last word he said after we just enjoyed everything, he says, I still think there's something there about the booklet. And man, God just hit me like a ton of bricks. That he has been speaking to me 12 years to write down for other pastors, for other leaders, for other church members, how to lead a week of fasting and prayer, how to call a church to fasting and prayer. But that's a big step. That's a big step, a book. That's like a lot of energy. That's a lot of time I don't have. I'm tired coming out of the week of fasting and prayer. I don't have time to, and then so much time goes by, it's no longer front and center. And you know what? The Lord just so personally tapped me and just said, Rob, that's why I said a booklet. You can do a booklet, can't you? It's not a book. It's just a little booklet. Oh, Lord, I knew it was him. Yes, Lord, I can do a booklet. Start on it now. So I'll start today. I was even praying backstage, I'm going to give at least an hour today to start. The first hour, I'm putting together a booklet. And the Lord is just putting on my heart that this is him. And isn't it just amazing how powerful in the last days, my old men will dream dreams. My young men will see visions. My sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, it's so powerful how God speaks to us. I need pictures. I think of Nebuchadnezzar, the Old Testament king, and God says, okay, here's a picture. Figure out what it means. I think of Pharaoh and Joseph. God gave Pharaoh a picture. Let's figure out what it means. God is a God who, for a lot of us, he speaks in pictures. Well, last year, the name of our week was Humble. We can bring up that artwork. This is the year. Little did we know what we were praying in January. This is the year. We're so excited, humble. And this is the year. Last year was the year that our world was humbled. It was a year that our nation has been humbled. It's a year that the churches have been humbled. Churches have been brought down, have been brought low. I interact with a lot of pastors. I don't know if it's 90 or 95% of pastors are at their wits' end. They have been brought low. And this woman, one of the first nights of the week of prayer and fasting, she stood right up here. She's here this morning. And we were remarking last night. She goes, I've never had this happen where I share a prophecy and it just takes off. And she shared this vision with me. She says, Pastor Rob, would you have a minute to listen to me? And I listened and she said, I had a vision tonight of a mirror that was shattered. And across the mirror was written the word church. And I saw a tool fashioned, a hammer, and it came and it struck the mirror and shattered it. Here's a picture from first service, one of the younger people just drawing in their Bible. It's just, hey, you know, just that's what I saw too. That was the vision, this mirror struck by the hammer. And for some reason, I just instantly engaged with her. I said, wow, that's really interesting. It was written the church over it, and it was struck by a hammer. That's really interesting. I said, first thing that comes to my mind is the mirror. That is the church, because we're a reflection of who Jesus is. Right? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And that, he's the source. He's creator. But then he tells you, you're the light of the world. You're not the source. It's only as you behold his glory that the Bible says we reflect him. We're the reflection of Jesus in every class and family and neighborhood and workplace that we go into. We reflect Jesus' light. We reflect who he is to a world that doesn't know him, right? That's the mirror. We're the mirror. And that instantly, I went, wow, that really, I see that. And I asked her, I don't even know why, I didn't know if I was going to spend five more seconds there or five more minutes, but I just asked her, that's really interesting. You said it was a beveled mirror. Like, to me, I don't even think, why a beveled mirror? And it's interesting, she immediately had an answer. Kind of actually shocked me. She goes, oh, it was a beveled mirror because these type of, I think she said, older mirrors with the beveled edge, they're very valuable. And I, again, engaged because I thought, wow, that really is a picture of the church. It's a very valuable mirror. And we began to understand that this weapon was fashioned against it, and it struck the mirror and shattered the mirror. And there was an element of we were rejoicing because all week long at the week of fasting and prayer, the sense was God is starting to regather Calvary Corvallis again. He's regathering his people. And the words out of her mouth were, yes, and the big pieces right now are being put together. And I just rejoice. That's such a great word. The big pieces are being put back together. And that's about as far as we got that night. And I led the next day and the next night on Zoom. And I came out. Most of you guys were gone. The Zoom meeting went longer. And I walked out the office door downstairs. And it was dark. And here comes this couple, and this woman is singing in the darkness of the courtyard. This nightingale is singing, walking, beautiful voice. She's just singing, walking across the courtyard. And I'm just thinking, oh, I love our church, you know. Who is this woman, you know? It's a beautiful voice. And she gets closer, and it's the woman who had given me the vision of the shattered mirror. And I said, oh, I'm still enjoying that God's putting the pieces back together. I love that word. We're asking God to do that. We're believing God to do that. And she immediately just burst into, Rob, the shards. All of the shards. And we can bring that picture up. The mirror has been shattered and all of these shards of glass are everywhere. There's a tremendous amount of work right now. We need to be praying that if we're going to be the reflection of God, we need all these precious shards. Like, I can't even remember ever using the word shard. And now all of a sudden, like at the heart of the whole week of fasting and prayer is just this focus that we're aware that these shards, they need to be gathered back. They're every, look at the little pieces. Every little piece is important if we're going to be the reflection of Jesus. This is an unusual thing about the church. We all, and you can leave that up, we all don't reflect all of the Lord, do we? The Lord shines through all of us differently. And we have different emphasis and different heart and different burden and different ways that we've dug deep and know the Lord. And together, we all are this beautiful reflection, but shattered, we're not. The reflection's incomplete. We need all these pieces. And I think this is the word to us as a church. We've got work to do. There's a lot of pieces, a lot of shards that we need to draw back to the reflection of God here. And then the week just started to unfold, leader after leader, prayer meeting after prayer meeting. The Lord started to minister to us about trying to help these shards, trying to recover these shards. You know, shards like this can hurt you. They can poke you. They can cut you. That goes along with picking up glass. Have you ever picked up glass? I've been cut more than once. You know, it goes with trying to be part of this rejoining, this restoring that the Lord was speaking to us about. Some of those pieces that were scattered are now, instead of the silver reflective side up, they're the back is now up. It's now the black side up. And we're very aware of this last year at COVID, how there's a lot of people that used to go to church here that now alcohol is wreaking havoc in their life. Smoking pot is now overtaken them. Drugs is now a way of life. One of the young men here that is an evangelist that's even been in my pulpit and brought people to Christ, he dove off the diving board of the church into the world of sin and is living in a sexual relationship and doesn't want to come back to the church. He's done. And one of our pastors was actually just crying with me, saying, I'm just trying so hard to reach him. I'm just doing all that I can to draw him back. And this has become the word of where we're at as a church. There's a lot of work to do right now. And it's beautiful that God's been speaking to us that as he puts the mirror back together, it's not this old 1800s mirror with this beveled edge any longer, right? But God, what the enemy meant for evil, God means for good. But God is creating a new mirror. And it's not going to look the same. And this picture, the Lord was just speaking to me about it not being this old beveled mirror, but God doing something new. And this was the best I could find. Just looking, someone had mentioned broken mirror art, and it got my attention. And I began to look, and because I was seeing something, and it wasn't this, but it was something completely different, something three-dimensional, something new that God is building, something better. Something that is for this day and age to reflect his glory in a new way. And we've just been praying into that. One of the women in this church is now an FBI agent, and she's been participating with us even from another state. And from the field, she called in. Yeah, but Pastor Rob, I've been praying. I'm seeing, it's not, pull that picture back up. The mirror, it's not just regaining all the old scattered shards, God's going to be drawing new shards to this new mirror. And maybe you even represent someone, you're brand new here, or new during the week of fasting and prayer. And God is building this new reflection to reflect his glory. And it's really interesting, our high school pastor, Daniel Chen, him and his wife, Rosanna. Well, Rosanna messages me about the Lord's, this glass, this shattered mirror is so speaking to my heart. She ministers to me this word, kintsugi. She goes, I really cannot stop thinking about this. Well, you know, and she just leaves it with me. Just sends it and leaves it. Like, I don't need anything else. I just send it to you. I've never heard the word kintsugi. That it's a Japanese word. It means, kin means gold. And sugi means to rejoin or to repair. And we can pull up the next picture. And she says, Rob, I just really have this on my heart, this kintsugi, the gold adhesive that repairs the broken. I just listening to you and being at the prayer meetings, I just sense the gold adhesive is the Holy Spirit. This art is so beautiful, but to me it speaks all about what we're experiencing as a church. Kintsugi is a way to, in art form, to make beautiful that which has been broken. That which has been shattered. Right? That which has fallen. That which has been damaged. It's powerful. It's a powerful picture I believe the Lord is putting before this church. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He redeems what the enemy meant for evil. What was meant to destroy that vessel, destroy its usefulness, destroy its beauty. The Holy Spirit puts us back together again, both as individuals with his golden touch that now we're more beautiful than even before. If we had never been broken. It's just everything about it speaks of what the Lord is doing this week. It speaks of redemption. What the enemy meant that this will be over and done with and scattered. The Lord's like, no, my golden touch, I'll make a church that is more beautiful than ever before. And one of our elders, just so powerfully, Tom Ewers, he was speaking, you know, this new mirror that the Lord, this is in another prayer meeting as the week went on, this new mirror that the Lord is putting together that's going to reflect his glory, it's not going to be like the old mirror of days past. It's a new mirror. It's going to, a new capacity for all of us to reflect God in a way that the world will see his glory. He said this new mirror, it's not about the mirror. God's building, we're like, oh, this is so exciting. The mirror. It's about, if you know Tom Ewers, you can hear his voice. It's about God's glory. This is God redeeming what the enemy meant forever, or for evil, forever. I like that too. For his glory, forever. Such a good word. I'll just bring it up, that kintsugi vase, just one last time. Maybe you're a broken person. Maybe you're at church and you just feel like, you know what? These people have it all together and I'm just in pieces. No, we all look like this. We all have the same testimony. We're crackpots, right? We're damaged. We've been beat to a pulp. You know, we've been smattered and shattered, and but God, any beauty you see in our church or in our lives, and that's what the Lord is wanting to do. That's the word of the shattered mirror. And then the last word is the word of the beam. And come on up, Kyle, and you can hold this up. This man walked in on a Tuesday morning, and you know, It takes trust when a man, he says, can I walk up to the stage? And he has this wrapped up in paper. He says, I have something, a word for the church. You're kind of like, okay, here we go. You know, well, you have no idea what they're going to say. And, you know, the Bible says that we test prophecy. You test it. Does it line up with Scripture? This well and well striking water, does that line up with Scripture that prayer, you know, leads to living water? Well, it actually does. Does it line up with water or the Scripture that we need to be flexible in prayer? Actually, it does. Does this mirror, the church being a reflection, is that scriptural? It actually is. And, you know, we test these things. And so he holds this beam up here, just like we're doing. Some of you have seen this, but I don't know. Sometimes I get more out of seeing things a second or third time. And he said, you know, this beam looks really powerful, very, very strong, load-bearing. Could probably, you know, support like 1,000 pounds. That's what it was designed for. But when you take a closer look, you go, yeah, that's a pretty big crack right there. Now, I don't know what's going on down there. Wait, oh my gosh, the whole thing's coming apart. And you turn it over. Great job, Kyle, getting dirt all over you. And you realize, oh, yeah, wait a minute. This beam is not what it appears at all. It looks strong on the outside from a certain angle, as long as you keep its good side forward. But actually, this beam is rotten. And if you kind of turn and I'll help lead you, you can actually see all the way through it. If you look through, I'll just try to rotate it so the whole church can see. If you look through, it's actually hollow. It's decayed. It's rotten. And you can set that down if you're Kyle. Thank you so much. Give Kyle a hand. Good job, Kyle. The younger generation and old, enabling the older generation to serve the Lord. And he began to give this word that this is a picture of our nation. Our nation was once solid, not perfect, always human, with no lack of sin and struggles and flaws and shortnesses, but nonetheless strong, load-bearing. We are standing on the infrastructure of what they built, but our nation's in trouble. Because our nation still looks like the same strong nation, but internally we're rotting. We're in a moral free fall in this country. We're idol worshipers as a nation. We worship sex. We worship pleasure. We worship our bodies. We worship technology. We're in trouble. And we that morning that he brought that up, we spent time in repentance for our nation. But then as the next day came, we realized that, you know what, that is true for our nation. But that this has also been up here all week. This is also a picture of our church. It can also be a picture of us. It's also a picture of how the Lord is wanting to deal with us, that our tendency is to put our best side forward, like with each other, like solid, load-bearing, you know? But we don't always let people see what's really going on inside. God sees. It's also a word for us that for some of us, there's hollowness underneath the surface. It's also a word for some of us, there's decay going on. There's rottenness on the inside that others aren't seeing, but God sees it. It's funny how when God's speaking to you, I was out on a prayer walk, and this one trail I always take, and this time this great big tree, just great big huge tree was down. I had to walk over it. I stood on top of it for a minute. I looked left. I go, man, that just looks huge oak crown. Looks like every other tree. There's trees everywhere. And it looked solid. I kind of jumped on it. The branches were all solid. And I went, oh, you know, I walked over it, and I looked under the bush back there, and I could see the trunk of the tree. And now I could see where it had broke off. The trunk was completely rotten. Looked like all the other trees. But it's just a matter of time before it collapsed. And a lot of times people in churches are like that. They come, best side forward. Everyone thinks, oh, load-bearing, powerful, strong. But we can't see the decay, the rottenness, the hollowness that's going on inside. And every once in a while, one of those people will fall and think, "What? How did that happen? I mean, they've been going here 9 or 10 years. How could that marriage fall apart? How could that person fall like that?" Well, it was hollow. It was not healthy. It looked healthy on the outside. And God was just, you know, beginning to speak to us, not only through the well, and not only through the mirror, but through the beam. And these verses started to show up at our prayer meetings. Matthew 23:27. And we're just at the end here, just these couple verses. This is the third picture that's before us, the third prophecy. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful." In Israel, their tombs, they whitewash them. They're painted white. They look clean. They look beautiful. And Jesus said, you religious people, you're like this, whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, like the tombs, on the inside, there's death and men's bones and every kind of impurity. In the next verse, he says, "In the same way, on the outside, you appear to be righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy." Hypocrisy means that you're a fake. You're a phony. You're two-faced. That's hypocrisy. There's the church face. Hi, church. Best side forward. Let's worship. But hypocrisy is then the other face. What's going on in reality is there's dark things being practiced. There's immorality. There's lying. There's dishonesty. There's deception. There's things that aren't right before God. There's things that are actually wicked that you're watching, that you're choosing, that you're entertained by. And yet, another verse that showed up, 2 Timothy 3:5, "They will act righteous." This is Paul talking about what it'll be like in the last days. "They will act righteous," religious, "but they will reject the power that can make them godly," right? That's going to be the last days. That's going to be a sign of people acting out their religion, but they're denying the power. There's no real powerful work transforming them and using them. It's just really an act. And it doesn't that just, boy, I don't want to be an act. I don't know if that resonates with you. I don't want to be a phony. I don't want to carefully put my best side forward. I want to be open before God. I want to live open where nothing's off limits to Him. And I know that's the way the Lord wants us to live. You know, just in closing, I'll talk about my son for a minute. I talked last night about him too, and I'm sure he's just thrilled that I'm going to talk about him again today. And last year, God worked in our son Josh's life at the prayer and fasting. You know, parents, it's our third child. Both of our daughters love the Lord, married to men who love the Lord, and now Josh is our third. And last year, God significantly touched him. When? At the week of prayer and fasting. So you can imagine Susie and I just thrilled. It was a great year. This year comes around again, and these are the prayer meetings I'm going to go to. I'm decided to go, and he goes, and he's sharing with me the other day. He's like, "Dad, I went to the prayer meeting, and I want to share with you what was going on." He says, and by the way it works in our house with Josh is if I ever use him in a story, I owe him coffee money. I have to buy it to get it. That's just, now you know the pastor's dynamics. That's how Dad gets to tell a story. But I actually called Josh on this. I said, "Hey, can I tell this story?" And he goes, "Dad, of course." He goes, "I'm all in. I'm all in. Of course you can tell it." And this is the story. He said he was at the prayer meeting, and he said he was thinking to himself, you know, and God had been dealing with him, "Josh, you're 90% in." And he asked me the question. He goes, "That's pretty good, isn't it, Dad? Like, if you're a college student and you're 90% in this world," I'm like, "That's an A. 90% is an A. You're a college student. Like, that's, you're in, Josh. That is good." And he goes, "Yeah, God was just speaking to me about that last 10%. God was just speaking to me about giving to God that last 10%. And one of the leaders of our church anointed Josh with oil, and that group prayed for him. And Josh was sharing with me, "You know, Dad, I gave that last 10%. I'm 100% in." So when I asked him, "Could I share it?" He's like, "I'm 100% in. Of course you can." And boy, that just so ministered to me. And I just wonder, as we're coming to the end of the week of fasting and prayer, and I wonder as we're going to take communion now, I wonder if that's not the word for us. I wonder if this isn't a time, Ryan, you can come back out, and communion was handed to you. You can get that out. If you didn't get communion, get it. You can go back to the foyer and get it. If you're online, get some bread. If you don't have juice, that's okay. Just grab some bread and take communion with us. And I wonder if this isn't a time to ask ourselves, so where am I at? I mean, 90% is good. Don't you think so? That's a good place. I'm 90% in. I think the question is, are you willing to be 100% in? Are you willing to be all in? Maybe you're like, "Yeah, I'm probably more like, I'm more like 70. Well, are you ready to go all in? I don't know, maybe 98. Are you ready to go all in the last 2%? Or maybe you've never been all in. Maybe this is a time to say, "Lord, I've never truly been yours." Maybe this is like the miracle of the moment where you just slide all your chips in and say, "Lord, I'm betting on you. I'm yours. It's all yours, Lord. I'm save me." So we're going to take communion. I'll just let you kind of evaluate, where are you at? And are you willing to go all in today? And, you know, the word came to me this morning, one of the last things I wrote down before I left the house. Is there something you have to give up or let go of in order to go all in? I think that's a word. There's someone here, there's someone listening, and that very much God is going to deal with you. If you're going to go all in this, you're going to have to let me deal with this. And that's the way you should go to communion. "Lord, I'm willing to let you deal with this because I want to be all in." So go to prayer. We're going to worship. Before you take communion, talk to the Lord about going all in. And just again, would you bring up that kintsugi picture just before we take communion? The bowl. There might be someone else, and for you going to communion, it still goes back to that. It goes back to your brokenness. right? It's just, I have to just go back to it. I just think for someone, that's really about what the, you're just broken this morning. You are broken, but the Holy Spirit is wanting to redeem you. You are in pieces right now. Probably wondering, could I ever be used by God again? But God, right? He's going to make you more beautiful. That needs to be your prayer. Okay, Lord, pick up the pieces. Can you really do that, Lord? Could you really make me more beautiful than if I wouldn't have fallen like this? Just offer the pieces. Just sit before Lord in pieces and just let him do what he does so well. Just ask him to say, Lord, put me back together. I'm just broken. And God says to you, I am near. I have been near to you in this brokenness. And I'm near to you now to put you back together. Ryan, lead us. And then whenever you're ready,